Let's go into the word. Let us agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We do ask and receive this afternoon that as we continue in the word, our hearts are receptive to receive your truth. There is no confusion as God's word is taught. Truth of God's word is taught with accuracy and in precision. And at the end of today's meeting, our saints were edified and Christ alone is. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Mark 16. Mark chapter 16. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized is saved or shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned, and this sign shall follow them that believe. Now we've looked at the first use of the word sign in Genesis chapter 1 verse what? 14. Signs for days, for seasons, and for years. And we looked at the word sign and a different word used in Exodus chapter 3 as what? Token. Yeah, this is the most important part of this meeting, so please follow attentively. Okay? Yeah, so we looked at token in Genesis 3, verse 12, verse 2, 12, and Exodus 3, then Exodus chapter 4, verse 8. And we saw that signs are pointers to the reality. Signs are pointers to the message. Signs are indicators or indications that show what is to believe or points to what is to be believed or what has been believed. And it says, this sign shall follow. They shall cast out demons and they shall speak in a new tongue. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, they shall not hurt them. That they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall what? And they shall what? Recover. Now look at Matthew's Gospel, verse chapter 8. When the evening was come, is that when the evening was come? They brought unto him many that were. Let's read together, verse 16. 1, 2, 3, go. And he healed all that were. And he healed all that were. So Jesus healed all that were sick. Right? Now look at verse 17, where we are going to. Verse 17, 1, 2, 3, go. Hold on. Have you read where Isaiah said that he would take our infirmities and bear our sicknesses? Yes. Isaiah 50. Beautiful. So Isaiah chapter 53 speaks about how he will take our what? Infirmities and bear our sicknesses. Now, we establish that sickness in Isaiah is a parable to discuss what? Sickness in Isaiah is a parable to speak about, that speaks about sin in the book of Isaiah. So, now, is there anything called literal sickness? Is there anything? Now, in the wilderness, were they literally sick? The deliverance that Isaiah spoke about that Jesus will give, is it literal sickness? Okay, hold on. That's what I'm trying to explain this. Now, look at that word that says that it might be fulfilled. That word, it might be fulfilled, is a single Greek word in the Greek manuscript. And it's a word that is spelled as P-L-E-R-O-O. Yeah? P-L-E-R-O-O. P-L-E-R-O-O. It might be fulfilled is a single word, P-L-E in the Greek, R-O-O. And it's a word that usually means to fill up or to full up or to make full, or a statement that connects two different events. Yes, plero is a word or is a statement that connects two different events. It's a word that implies to fill up or to make full, connects two different events. Yeah, so Matthew uses it in Matthew chapter 1 verse 20. Go to Matthew 1:20 quickly. Matthew 1:20. Plero is a word that what? A statement that what? Connects or relates two different events. Never forget that. Right? Look at Matthew 1 verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Look at verse 2. Now all this was done that it might be. That it might be, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child. What prophet is this? Yeah. Isaiah 9. Isaiah 7. Isaiah 7 and Isaiah 9. Now, the angel appeared unto Moses. Is that what was to be fulfilled? Was the promise about an angel or about the son that will be given? What did Matthew say in verse 22? That it might be fulfilled. What is that it might be fulfilled? A statement usually used to join two different events together. So why did Moses use, why did Matthew use it might be fulfilled? Is linking the encounter of Joseph and the angel to the promise of Isaiah about the child that will be conceived. Are we here? Remember, plural is a word that links two events together. Look at, he used it again in Matthew 2. Look at Matthew 2. So the angel appearing to Joseph, is that the promise? What is the promise? The woman, a virgin, shall be with a child. Are we together? So there are two events. A woman being with a child, and what the angel meeting or having an encounter with Joseph. Are they two different events? What did Matthew use in the middle of them? That it might be fulfilled. So it might be fulfilled is a word plural used to join two different events or connect or what? Bring common or what you can call an inter, what did you call, what do we call it in the morning? Identification unifier. Are we together? Are we together? Glory to God. Now look at Matthew 2:14. Matthew 2:14. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Israel. And he was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Are we together? Are there two events there? What is the first event? The what? Prophecy? What is the second event? Look at it again. Escape to Egypt is one event. Is that true? Yes. That it might be fulfilled. What is that which is to be fulfilled? Out of Egypt I will call my son. Look at Matthew 8, verse 16. Well, where we started from? When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils and cast out the spirits with his words, and he healed all the sick. Please follow attentively. What is the next word there? Plural. Right? That it might be what? Fulfilled. Which was spoken. Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. What are the two events in that context? He healed the sick. And the second one is what? About the prophecy that must be fulfilled. So a lot of times, when you're using that plural as a word, a lot of times it connects or links or shows or points to the second. For instance, the angel came was an event. It was pointing, or the end goal of that is what? The child to be conceived. Are we together? What second example we gave? Escape to Egypt. Yeah? So the escape to Egypt was an event that was to point to the event of what? The prophecy. So now, when he says, Jesus healed the sick, was that physical? Yes. What is he pointing to? That it might be fulfilled. So he's pointing your attention to that which Jesus was going to do. About what? Sins. So Jesus healing the sick was pointing, or is pointing the attention of us to what? Jesus bearing our sicknesses. And what? And this is, which is what? Is it figurative or literal? Figurative. So literal, that it might be fulfilled, to point to the... So if you have an event, for instance, Moses lifted up a serpent in the wilderness, that it might be fulfilled that the Son of Man, did you get that? Shall be lifted up. Did you get that? Did that make that clearer? So one points to the other. One connects to the other. So divine healing points our attention to the finished work. Divine healing, but because what he took by the prophet is our infirmities, which Isaiah makes us to see as sickness. Infirmity in itself is transgression, sin. But figuratively, sickness is used to represent sin or infirmity. I'll take it easy, okay? Yeah, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. Himself took our infirmities. That is, he bore our sickness. Our sickness is the infirmity, that is the sin that he took on his body. Are we following? Look at Matthew 11. Matthew 11 verse 3. You know, John was in prison and he sent his disciples. Is that true? John said disciples to go and ask Jesus, they arrested me. Are you sure you are the real king? Are you sure you are the real Messiah? Look at verse 3. And said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Look at Jesus' reply in verse 4. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Hold on. What was Jesus doing? He went about doing good. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the message and messenger of God. Are we together? The message of God, is it healing of sicknesses or signs and is it signs and wonders or the gospel? Are we together? What did John ask? Now, what did the prophecy say? There is one who will come and will take away the sins of the world. There is one who the government will be upon his shoulder. John knew all of that. John was in prison and sent his disciples to go and meet Jesus. Are you the one that is to come or should wait for another? What did Jesus say? Jesus did not point his attention to the gospel. He points his attention to his signs and wonders. Do you get that? Do you get that? Look at it again. Then Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. What is it? Verse 5. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. Are we together? Are we together? So, all those things are signs and wonders. What is the key of everything? It points to what? The gospel being preached. The gospel being preached. Are we here? Are we sure? Are we sure? Now, where did Jesus quote from? Look at Isaiah 29 verse 18. Isaiah 29 verse 18. Isaiah is a very interesting book. Verse 18, Isaiah 29, 18, and in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the books of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of what? Darkness. Look at chapter 35, verse 4. Isaiah 35, 4. Say to them that are of fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with the recompense. He will come to save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be what? The ears of the dead shall be on what? Unstopped. Yeah? Verse 6. Then shall the lame man leap as an ass, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall water break out, and streams in the what? Desert. Now, where was the story of wilderness gotten from? Stories of wilderness was gotten where? In Exodus. Right? What did Jesus say to John's disciples? He says, go and tell John to believe me for the signs you see. Why do you think so? That it may be fulfilled. Are we together? Now, the message, that means the message of the gospel is a message that teaches that the eyes of the blind will be opened. That the deaf will hear. That the captive will be set free. And he healed them all. Did he do that?
Yes.
Healing them all, is it a sign?
Yes.
Does it point to the reality?
Yes.
So if a sign points to the reality, where is your attention to be? The sign or the reality?
Yes.
Is there any time where the sign will not be a sign?
No.
So it will always be a sign. So it means that even though Jesus healed the sick, the truth that Jesus allowed the eyes of the blind to be opened, it is still what? A sign. Clear? It is still a sign. It is still a sign. But it points to what? The reality. It points to the reality. Hallelujah. So what is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying to John in Matthew 11, he says, for you to know that I'm the one who takes away the sins of this world, look at these signs. Because the signs are pointers to what taking away of the sins of the world would actually imply. Now, a sign points to, the question now becomes, how come we now have signs after the resurrection has happened? A sign should be something that points to, now that we have the reality, how come we have signs following? So what will the sign point to? Which reality? That which has happened or that which is to come? Beautiful. So miracles and signs are pointers to that which has happened in our day and time. Miracles and signs in Moses' day and time is to point to that which was to happen. Are they all signs? Are we together? Remember what we said as sign? Sign is that which points or gives an indicator, an indication to that which has been believed or to be believed. To Moses, when we see signs, it is for them to believe what will happen. To us, when we see signs, it is for us to look back at what has happened. Are we here? Are we here? So Jesus says what? He says, in my name you shall cast out demons. These signs shall follow. So what is the essence of signs? That's what we're looking at now. What is the essence of signs? Look at Exodus 15:26. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. All right, let them wait for us. Exodus 15:26. 1, 2, 3, go. Now, if you look at the context of that verse, was that verse speaking about any sickness or disease? Look at verse 22. Look at verse 22, Exodus 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found what? No water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink the water of Marah, for they were bitter. Look at verse 24. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? So what were they actually crying about? Sickness, diseases, or what to drink? Look at verse 25. And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. Are we together? Did God cure the sickness or the challenge they had? What was the challenge they had? No good water to drink. Did God heal their water? So when you see, I am the Lord that healed thee, in that context, is it about a sickness on their body or what? A sickness of the water. So sickness in that verse will be about what? A bitter water. Clear? Is that clear? Is that clear? He now says, when you put water to make it sweet, there he made for them a statue and an ordinance, and there he proved them and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do which that is right in the sight. So he turned their bitter water to a drinkable water. He now says, I'm Rapha. What is Rapha? Rapha is the word healer. Jehovah Rapha, that God which heals, the God which heals. So he says what? I am the Lord that healed thee. I am the Lord that healed thee. What is the healing in that context? So in the real sense, I will put none of this disease upon thee. It's a causative use of God. When it says, I will put none of this disease upon thee, he's not saying, I'm the one that will put on the Egyptians, but I will not put on you. What he's really saying is that I will not allow it on you. Why? Because what? There's an ability of healing. There's an ability of preservation. Yeah? Is that true? There's an ability of healing. So I will not put this sickness on you that like that I've put on the Egyptians. He said, I will not allow that which is on the Egyptians to be on you. Why? Because I am he that healeth. Are we together? Are we together?
Yes,
are we together? So Rapha, Rapha is a word that usually a lot of times used, you know what they call embalmment. What does embalmment? Another word for embalmment. Preservation. Yeah, to preserve. Yeah, that's that word Rapha. You know, has similar meanings, like to preserve those. So when he says, I am Rapha, I am the healer, the Lord that healeth, I am the one that preserves, I am that which preserves, I have an ability to preserve. Are we together? So God preserves our body as a sign of what he will do to our immortal body. No matter how much we are all preserved, everybody on earth will get to a point where they will what? Sleep, which they call die. But the point of what? So, can you be preserved from evil? Yes? What is that? A pointer to the preservation that we have in immortality. Are we together? Let's pay a little attention to healing. It will be better you sleep. Now, let's look at the first mention of the word healing in the Bible, Genesis 20. Look at at Genesis chapter 20, verse 1. Let's have a quick read, okay? Just follow your Bible attentively, please. Yeah? And Abraham journeyed from thence towards the south country and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur, and shunned into Gerar. So he was at Gerar. And Abraham said, Genesis 20, and Abraham said of Sarah his wife, she is my sister, and Abimelech the king of Gerar sent and took Sarah. So did Abraham lie? Beautiful. So Abraham lied, human trafficking, right? So Abraham lied about his wife and he called him his sister. But do you actually believe that Abraham was actually, Sarah was actually his sister? See how Sister Rose is looking. Was Sarah Abraham's sister? But at the time, was he supposed to introduce her as a sister? Say sense. Yeah? You see, do you know the reason why he lied? Because in that day, you see, it's today, thank God for 2 Corinthians, though, for we walk by faith, not by sight. In those days, their kings walk by sight, though. Eh? Any woman they see that is beautiful. You want comment? that's the theological word. You correct. Yeah? Look what it now says. And he said unto him, verse 3, but God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said unto him, behold, thou art but a dead man. Hello, was Abimelech dead? Was he dead? Thou art but a dead man. For the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. And Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, will thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, she is my sister, and she, even she herself said, is my brother. In the integrity of my heart, can you see Abimelech defending himself? In the integrity of my heart, and the innocency of my hands, have I done this? And God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the territory of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Verse 7, now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a what? And he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt what? Hello, dear saints. Was Abimelech dead? Why did he say thou shalt live? That word there, live, is the same word what? Chayai. Chayai. To come alive. To be regenerated. Right? To live forever. So in between the story of Abimelech, Abraham, and Sarah, we see what eternal salvation preached. Abimelech was not dead. All together. He wasn't dead. So he says that if you shall allow, and he will pray for thee, that thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die. Thou and all that are dying. And Mary rose up in the morning and did all of this. Look at verse 18 quickly. For the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Is that the Lord? Is that the work of the Lord or the work of the devil? To close up the womb. Is it the work of the Lord? Yeah. So remember the story of Hannah, who was barren. Yeah. And Anna said in 1 Samuel, says, the Lord has shut my womb. Yeah. That's the figure of speech, right? Yeah, what did God do? So what is the story of Hannah teaching, for instance? The womb that has no life or that does not have life will come forth what? Life. That's resurrection. Yeah? Yeah? That's Christ, right? So you see that he says that you will live. The word you live is to what? Chayal. To stay. It's a word used for resurrection. Look at Genesis 3:22. When you see that word, a lot of times it refers to a life of forever, a forever life. Look at Genesis 3:22. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Hello, dear saints. The tree of life is who? Tree of life is who? The tree of life is who? The tree of life is who? Hey. Who wrote about tree of life in the Bible? Who was supposed to write about tree of life in the Bible? Yes? Right? So the tree of life is who? what's the 12 like? Who's the 12 like? Are you sure? How do we know it's Christ? You just know. What of knowledge? Yeah, so the tree of life is what? Christ. In that verse, it says that when you eat of the tree of life, you shall what? Live what?
Forever.
The only thing you eat and live forever. So once you say live forever, either they call it mango of pineapple or anything, it is live forever. That word they live forever is the same word chai. That was the first mention in the Bible. Chayan, to live forever. To have a life that is forever. So the tree of life, we have eaten the tree of life. Hallelujah. Yeah, we have eaten the tree of life because we will live forever. Yeah, we've eaten the bread of life because we will live forever. So the tree of life is equal to the bread of life. Is equal to the same person, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it says that I will also eat the tree of life and eat, you shall live forever. So remember the narrative we brought out in Numbers 21, verse 7 to 9. When you look at the serpent, you shall what? Chayan. Right? What is that? Live forever. Or you shall, he says, if you look at the serpent, you shall live. Were they dead? So what does Chaya speak about? Eternal life. Pointing to what? As he will be lifted up. Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah? So it means that, look at Matthew 8 again. Go to Matthew 8, 16. So we see that the first use of the word healing is a word that speaks of what? Being alive. Is that true? The first use of the word healing in Genesis 20 is a word that speaks of coming alive, being alive, or the resurrection life. Look at Matthew 8, 16 again. When the evil was come, bless you, they brought unto him many that were possessed, yes, and he healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled. Yeah, so it means that we will start from Genesis to explain what Jesus is saying about it might be fulfilled. So just like Jesus healed the sick, just like in Genesis, that it might be fulfilled. Right? What is that it might be fulfilled? Points to, right? Two events in view, connecting. Now, so go back to Isaiah 53, where we are. When it now says, surely verse 4, he had borne our grief and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for what? Our transgression. He was bruised for what? Now remember that scripture in Matthew where we read? Eh? Where he says that, what did he say about iniquities and sicknesses? Now what? What scripture is that? Matthew 18, 17, right? That will be fulfilled as the Matthew 8, verse 17, that it might be fulfilled as the prophet Isaiah said, that he himself took our infirmities and what? Matthew tells you that what Jesus in that scripture tells you that it was Isaiah that said it. Is that true? Where is Jesus quoting from or reading from? Isaiah 53. Go back to Isaiah 53 where you are. Did he mention sickness there? Just like reading another Bible. Rasta, we are saying double. Isaiah 53, verse 4.
Yes, he said, yes, God has sickness.
Oh. Yes, God. What version are you using?
It's
Sanctified. See the name. Revised. That should be Muslim Standard Bible. He says, surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrow. Yes, we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression, right? He was bruised for our iniquities. So can you see grief? So let's assume, so in fact, that translation right now, Christian Standard Bible, would be somebody's interpretation having understood Matthew 8. Is that true? In your KJV Bible, do you see sickness? So it is grief, it is transgressions, it is iniquities. What did Jesus summarize it as in chapter 8, verse 17? That it might be fulfilled. As the prophet has said, he himself bore our iniquities and all our what? Sicknesses. So it means that sickness is going to be a parable for what? Transgressions, iniquities, and what? Sin. Are we together? Are we sure we're here? Now, he now says, but he was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. So are we healed by his stripes? Yes. So, a good way to read Isaiah 53 verse 5 and 6 would be what? By his stripes we will be healed. Now, so, by his stripes we will be healed points to that which is to happen. By his stripes we are healed points to that which has happened. So, in that verse, in that context, go back to Matthew 11, quickly. When John the Baptist's disciples came. Verse 5, the blind shall receive their sight. So, when you see a blind man receive his sight, what is it? Healing. Is that a sign and wonder that points to what? The reality. Are we together? So, the blind shall receive their sight, the lame shall walk, the leper shall be cleansed, the dead shall hear, the dead shall rise up. Yeah, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Yeah, so it means that when you see a healing of a dead man come back to life, is a sign that points to what? We that were dead in sins have been quickened by the Holy Ghost. Are we together? Are we together? When you see the blind now receive their sight, what is it? We that were without sight can now behold the glory of God. Are we together? Are we here? So look at verse. So now, what is Jesus saying? These signs are signs of the future work. And that says, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Hallelujah. Look at Matthew 21. Matthew 21, 11. Matthew 21, verse 11. Let's read together Matthew 21, 11. My house shall be called the for how many people? How do we know how many people are required or how many people he speaks about? Let's go to where Jesus quoted that from. Go to Isaiah 56, verse 3. Verse 7. Even them will I bring to my holy mountain. Hold on. Go back to verse 3. Look at verse 3 of Isaiah 56. Neither let the son of the stranger that had joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbath, and choose the things that please me, and take hold of my covenant. Even unto them will I give in my house, and within my walls a place and a name better than the sons and the daughters. I will give them an everlasting name. They shall not be cut off. Right? Also the sons of the strangers that join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord to be his servant, everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taking hold of my covenant. Now see verse 7. Even them will I bring to my holy nation and make them joyful in my house of what? Prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifice shall be accepted upon my altar, for my house shall be called the house of prayer for Now see verse 8, the Lord God which gathered the outcasts of Israel, saith, yet will I gather others to him beside those that are gathered unto him. Let me now tell you something. If you read the Bible very well, you realize that go to Leviticus 13 verse 11. Leviticus 13 verse 11. Never forget we're in Matthew 21. Go to Leviticus 13 verse 11. Leviticus 13 verse 11. Leviticus 13 verse 11. Remember in Isaiah chapter 56, what did prophecy say? It says that God will bring even those that are outcasts. Why? Because his house will be the house of prayer for what? All people, including those who are outcasts. Now, I want to show you those who are outcasts, for instance. Look at Leviticus chapter 13, verse 11. It says what? It is an old leprosy in the skin of his flesh, and the priest shall pronounce him what? Unclean is me, you are outcast. You see, under the law, yeah? There are specific people who have specific sicknesses that could not come into the temple. Why? Because they consider the temple to be that which is only for those who are clean. So anything that is unclean, you cannot come into the temple. Anything that is unclean, you cannot come into the temple. Now, Leviticus 13 shows us that what? He says what? The leprosy, 13 verse 11, the priest shall pronounce him unclean and shall not shut him up, for he is all what? Clean. Look at chapter 15 verse 16. Let me show you what Jesus did. Chapter 15 verse 16. Look at chapter 15 verse 16. Chapter 15 verse 16. And if any man's seed of copulation, what does that mean? People of God, what are you saying? What is seed of copulation? If you read it in context, but let me say, if you read it in context, you are reading context of sperm. He said, if any man's seed of copulation go out from, let's use Bible words. Okay, just stick there. If any man's seed of copulation go out from him, that he shall wash all his flesh in water and be unclean until the evening. And every garment and every skin whereon the seed of copulation shall touch shall be washed. You sure you don't understand? Yeah, you don't understand. And it shall be unclean unto the level. So it means that when the law says that when your seed of copulation should touch anything, you must wash it. And it is, even after the wash, it is still unclean until evening. So leprosy is a man who is considered, a man with leprosy is a man considered as unclean. In the Jewish culture, those who are considered as unclean, no matter the circumstance, cannot have access to the temple. What did Jesus say? He casted out those who were buying and selling and said, my house shall be a house of prayer for all nations. Did Matthew tell you for all nations? How do you know it's for all nations? Isaiah's prophecy. How do you know Isaiah was collecting it? Isaiah read it in Leviticus. Ideally, in Leviticus, ideally, once you are unclean, you cannot come into the temple. You do everything you want to do from outside. Look at verse 18. The woman also with whom the man shall lie with seed of copulation, they shall both bathe themselves in water. Oh, I thought it was kerosene. And be unclean until the even. Verse 19. If a woman have an issue, hello, woman with the issue of? If a woman have an issue, and an issue in her flesh be blood, it can be water, she shall be put apart for 7 days. Imagine you cannot come to church because you are going through your period. What did Jesus do? Let me say something. Let me show you where I'm heading to. Jesus healed the sick and cured those who are unclean so that they can have access to the house of prayer. So the curing of sicknesses is a way of Jesus teaching that the house of God is open to all. Look at it again. Whosoever shall touch her shall be unclean. See, if you read Leviticus chapter 13 to maybe chapter 18, you will be happy for what Christ did for you. You know, nowadays you can even be on your period and be coming to church like this. Sister Esther, what happened to you? I'm on. In those days, you don't need to tell us you are on. Once we see you outside, we know you are on. I mean, you don't need to announce the arrival. Once we see you outside, oh, she's on. Leave her, she's on. Yeah? Look at it though. He says, and everything that she lieth upon in her separation shall be unclean, including the bed sheet to lie on is unclean. That's why Paul told them, you that are under the law, have you not read the law? See, if you want to keep the law, if you want to keep the law, see, I didn't say if you want to keep 10 commandments, if you want to lie, you want to stay. If you want to keep the law, and everything that she lies upon in that separation shall be unclean. Everything also that she seated upon shall be unclean, including the chair you're sitting on. So it means that ideally, once a lady comes to a church and she sits down on that chair, we must mark and avoid. Because the chair is unclean. And now says for 7 days. So we go in our day and time now. It's the 7 day the period starts properly. It means that in a full year, you might not come to church more than 7 times. Are we together? So ideally, under the law of Moses, the instruction states that those who are unclean cannot come into the temple, including those with leprosy, including those who are sick. Why do you think Jesus healed the sick and says, go and show yourself to the priest? Because the priest that verifies if you are healed or not. If the priest doesn't verify if you are healed or not, you are still unclean. So why did Jesus heal the sick? To show that what? The house of God is for everybody, for all nations, for all people, Gentiles, Jew, and all. So the blind were not to come into the temple. The deaf were not to come into the temple. Glory to God. Go back to Matthew 21. So Jesus was showing that his house welcomes everybody. So Jesus did physical healing to show that his house offers spiritual healing to everybody. Matthew 21, verse 14. Look at verse 13. And he said, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of... Verse 14. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he what? And they what? So the blind and the lame, can we call them the outcast? Can we call them who the law calls unclean? Yeah, what did he do? He healed them. When the chief priest and scribes saw the wonderful things that he had did, the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, Son of God, they were so displeased. So a sign of healing the blind and the lame is a sign that the gospel is for everybody. So we're going out on the streets to get people healed as a sign to show that the gospel is for everybody. So it means that you can meet someone, and before you preach the gospel, you what? Perform a sign. But you must not leave that man with that sign, because that sign is temporary. You must see, the end goal is what? Go ye into all the nations and preach the gospel. The message of the gospel is an eternal reality. The word that follows the message of the gospel is signs and wonders. So if you offer people signs and wonders without the reality, you've not done really good to them. Is that true? Yeah. So even though they might not believe your gospel, you know, a lot of times when you do some miracles, it's very difficult for people to still reject what you have to say. But there are people that they have evil heart of unbelief. So Jesus healing the sick is a sign to show of, or to show what God is building, that God's house is a house that involves everyone, even though the world we call unclean. So everybody will be welcome into his house. How did you allow? So it means that Jesus healed them first to qualify them for the house. Listen, Jesus healed them first so that he will qualify those who were not qualified. So healing, let me write this down. Healing is a sign of God's acceptance, but it is not God's acceptance. Did you get that? I'll say it again. Healing is a sign of God's acceptance, but it isn't God's acceptance. Are we together? Let's say it again. Healing is a sign of God's acceptance, but it is not God's acceptance. So healing points your attention to the acceptance of God, but healing is not acceptance of God. This is what I mean. You can get someone healed and he remains a non-believer. Are we together? You've just done what, or showed him, or given him the signs to what? God's acceptance. So healing is a vital sign of the work of Jesus. Yes? So healing is a vital sign that points to the work of Jesus. Healing is something that connects what? Healing is a sign, basically, that which connects the physical to the spiritual. So healing is a sign that points our attention from bodily or physical ailments to what? Or physical healing to spiritual healing. Don't lose track on me. So what did Jesus do? Jesus healed those who were not qualified and made them qualified to be accepted in God's love. Why? Because he was dealing and communicating God's word to them in their tradition. In their tradition, those who are unclean cannot come in. What did Jesus do? He removes that which disqualifies them and makes them qualified. Are we together? So, in the temple, those who were not allowed in, Jesus qualified them by healing their bodily ailments. That doesn't mean that after that healing, some of them will not still have a day. Is that true? So, signs are not eternal. They are what? They're temporary. Hallelujah. So that the house of God, because it is just to show God's promise that what? The house of God shall be called the house of prayer for all people. No one is disqualified. Yeah, so healing is a sign of God's acceptance, but it's not God's acceptance. Never forget that. Yeah, a sign is not the deal, right? A sign is not the deal. A sign is not the real deal. A sign is a pointer. Now, let's see how Peter explains by stripes we are healed. Look at 1 Peter 2, verse 24. 1 Peter 2, verse 24. Say, I'm strengthened to do the works. I'm strengthened to do the works of my Father. I heal the sick. I heal the sick. My hands are full of power. My hands are miracle workers. 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bear our in his own on the that we being to should unto by stripes ye were. What does by stripes we are healed? Verse 25. For ye were sheep gone astray, but are now returned unto the bishop that is shepherd of your souls. Hallelujah. Where is he explaining from? Isaiah 53. So what is the healing we have? The healing we have is that those of us who were rejected, we have now been accepted. Are we together? Those of us who were roaming astray, we have now returned back to the bishop and shepherd, the shepherd and bishop of our souls. What separated us from the love of God? Sin. Can we say sickness? Yeah. Can we say iniquity? Yeah. So iniquity, transgression separated us from the love of God. But now, what shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, shall sin? Nothing. Why? Because we have now returned back. We are now in his hands. He says, none can pluck us from his hands. Why? Because the Father who gave them to me is greater than all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at Matthew 13:15. Matthew 13:15. You see, throughout the day as you are going out, you know, while you are walking, you're praying under your breath, you're praying the Holy Ghost under your breath. Yeah? Remind yourself of your reality. Glory to God. Pray under your breath. Remind yourself of reality. In fact, when you go out as groups, for instance, yeah, you see, you can set the template. As you're going out to your group, as you are sitting like this, always just be saying to yourself, I'll be the first person to heal in my group. Are we here? Are we here? Are we here? We're getting practical now, okay? Yeah? As I'm walking, I'm going to be the first person. Look, all these brothers, don't worry. All these sisters, don't worry. I'll be the first to heal my group. And you see anyone who is sick, see Matthew chapter 13, where we are. Matthew 13, verse 15. For these people's heart is waxed cross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should what? Heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your eyes, for they hear. So Matthew shows us that healing connects what? You see, the word here, heal them, is the word that is iomia. I-A-O-M-A-I. What is Matthew really showing us? There's a connection between physical healing and spiritual healing. Physical healing is a sign that points to the spiritual healing. Physical healing points to the spiritual healing. Look at Matthew 8:8. Matthew chapter 8, verse 8. Don't be tired. We just started, right? We just started. Matthew 8:8. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou should come unto my roof. Remember the centurion story? Yeah? And he said what? Speak thy word, and my servant shall be healed. Do you send the word, and he heals my disease? You are the Lord. Look at verse 13. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the self same hour. Look at verse 11. I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Look at this. Does that speak of welcoming all nations? Did you get that? Yeah? Did you get that? So in the midst of healing, Jesus teaches about what? Spiritual healing. He says, and I say unto you, then many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Yeah? But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out. So he speaks of reconciliation of all nations in the midst of reconciling or providing what? Physical or bodily healing. Look at Matthew 15:28. Matthew's Gospel 15:28. Now let me show you something. Let me show you that physical healing actually relates to forgiveness of sins, which is what we've been saying since. When we say you have spiritual healing, what does that mean? Your sins are forgiven. Is that true? Everyone look at me. When you say you have spiritual healing, what does that mean? What does that mean? You've been reconciled. What does that mean? You have the indwelling of the Spirit. Yeah? Now, let me show you something. You know that in the entire four Gospels, not a single teaching did Jesus do on healing. Not one. Jesus did not do a single teaching on healing. But yet, when Jesus taught, people were healed. Let's show you there's a connection between what? Spiritual healing and physical healing. Let's say that there's a connection between when forgiveness of sin is preached and people receive their healing. Have you not gone for meetings where you see that at the end of the teaching, the man doesn't need to call for those who are sick because a lot of people have already received their healing while the word was taught. So as God's word is taught, healing is made available as a sign to confirm that which is done upon the resurrection. Are we together? Are we here? Look at that scripture again. Matthew chapter 6, 15, verse 28. Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. If you look at the context of this was actually speaking of a Gentile woman. How do we know? Look at verse 27. And she said, look at verse 26. But he answered and said, verse 26, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. What is that saying? That which is for those who are part of the kingdom, in quote, Israel, is not for strangers. Are we together? Remember I said something. Healing, physical healing was something Jesus did to show that everybody is accepted. What was the narrative of that woman in her mind? It was that what? The food for dogs or the food that is for the children should not be given to dogs. Look at verse 27. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Verse 28. Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is thy faith. What is he saying? The woman is saying that the children sit on the dining table and food that they eat, the remnant is thrown on the floor for dogs to eat. Figuratively speaking, of those who sit on the table are children of God and the dogs are what? Outcasts, Gentiles. What the woman now said is that what? Even dogs, even if you can give us from the remnant, we'll be okay with it. What did Jesus say? Great is your faith. Yeah? Great is your faith. And her daughter was made whole that very hour. So you see the use of crumbs and dogs to show what? Welcoming of every. So it means that on that dining table that was only for supposed children alone, dogs can sit on the table. Are we here?
Yes, sir.
That table that was supposed to be for children, why dogs eat from the floor, the remnants. Now dogs are now welcome to the table to sit with children. Figures of speech. I don't want to think of a dog sitting. Hallelujah. Yeah, so it was used to show welcoming, reconciliation, acceptance. Look at Luke 5:17. Luke 5:17. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was what? Don't be tired, open the scripture. Eh? And the one talking and the one answering. People of God. Well, let's be ready. I'm ready. Luke 5, 17. 1, 2, 3, go. Say the power of the Lord is present to heal. Everybody has gone home. They have gone home. What was Jesus doing? And it came to pass on a certain day as he was. So as I'm teaching, the power of God is available to heal. Say, the power of God is available to heal. The power of God is available to heal. What was Jesus doing? He was teaching. He didn't go for a healing meeting. But yet the power of God was available to heal. So it means that there's a connection between the power of God available to heal and teaching. That means preaching the gospel has a connection to what? The power of God made available to heal. And verse 18, behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with palsy. Right? And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. Don't miss this verse. Look at verse 19. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in, because of the multitude, they went up to the house. What was Jesus doing? Did Jesus say he was doing a seminar for healing? No. What was he doing? He was teaching, right? So he said that, and they brought him to the rooftop and let him down through the tilting with this couch into the midst before Jesus. Verse 20. And when Jesus saw what did Jesus see? What did Jesus see? He said unto them, thy sins are forgiven. Hello, people of God. What did they come for? What did he say unto them? That means they are late. Why were they passing through the roof? They were not going to look for Jesus to forgive their sins. Are we together? They were not looking for forgiveness of sins. They were looking for healing for a man who was with palsy on the bed. And they took him to the roof. What did Jesus say? He saw their faith and said, what? Their sins are forgiven. So it means that there's a relationship between sins forgiving and healing. What is sins forgiving? Is it physical healing or spiritual healing? So there's a link between spiritual healing and physical healing. So physical healing connects or links to what? Spiritual healing. Spiritual healing is what? The reality of what? Physical healing. So physical healing points to what? Spiritual healing. What did he say? He says, your sins have been forgiven. See verse 21. The scribes now start again say, who is this one that speaketh blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God? Look at verse 32. When Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said unto them, what reason ye in your heart? What is easier to say, their sins be forgiven or rise up and walk? It means that they are connected. What did Jesus say for them to be healed? Please don't lose track. What did Jesus say for him to be healed? What other option could Jesus say? Rise up and walk. So it means that you can look at someone and say, rise up and walk. And you rise up and walk. I can look at someone and say, your sins are forgiven, I will rise up and walk. What did Jesus do? Your sins are forgiven. What happened? He rose and walked. So Jesus now says, which is easier? Is it rise up and walk, or your sins are forgiven? But that you may know the Son of Man had power upon the earth to forgive sins. If you've lost anything in today's teaching, don't lose verse 21. Look at it again. Alright, let's read verse 24 together. 1, 2, 3, go. So it means that physical healing is to show that God forgives sins. Is it making sense now?
Yes, sir.
Is it coming home now? Let me say it again. Physical healing is to show that God forgives. Look at it again, verse 24. But that ye may know that the Son of Man had the power upon the earth to forgive sin. He said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thy house. What happened in verse 25? And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed into his own house, glorifying God. So Jesus healed the sick to show that he has the power to forgive sins. So, did Jesus take our sicknesses on his body? Did Jesus take our sicknesses on his body?
Yes.
What sickness? Sin. Transgression. Did Jesus put cancer on his body? No! Does Jesus heal cancer today? Yes! As a what? To show that he has the power to forgive sins. What did he bear on his body? Sickness. Our sins. Sickness that is sins. Did you get that? Iniquities. Transgression. All on his body. But to show you that he really has the power to forgive the sin, what does he do? He works in miracle, in the miraculous. So it means that nobody can be loud on the eternal forgiveness of sins and not be loud on healing. Do you get that?
Yes, sir.
So as from today, you should be saints who are loud on the eternal forgiveness of sins and be loud on healing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Think about it this way. When somebody meets you and wants to argue with you doctrinally about eternal forgiveness, what do? You try to explain eternal forgiveness of sins from scriptures. That's the first thing that comes to your mind. Yeah? When someone meets you with sickness, what should be the first thing that comes to your mind? Heal. For that is to show that God has the power to forgive sins. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. look at, so it means that sin, eternal forgiveness of sins, and physical forgiveness of sin, or physical healing, they are what? Linked. Look at Luke 6, verse 18, quickly. You know, Luke was a doctor, physician, so to say. So he took note of a couple of things while he was writing. Luke chapter 6, verse 18. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were what? They were what? Verse 19. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him, and he healed them all. Why did Jesus heal them all? To show that the Son of Man had the power to forgive. Look at Luke 8, 47. Luke 8, 47. And when the woman saw that she was not healed, she came trembling and falling down before him. Remember, Jesus had already said, someone touch me. I perceived that virtue left me. He said, and she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was what? She was what? Look at chapter 14, verse 4. Look at chapter 14, verse 1. And it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath. So it means that they ate bread on the Sabbath sometimes, right? Yeah? They that watched him, and behold, there was a certain man before him which had dropsy. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? For they held their peace, and he took him and healed him and let him go. And answered them, saying, which of you shall have an ass or an ox falling into a pit, and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? Can you see hypocrites? They were eating bread in verse 1. Hallelujah. Look at chapter 17, verse 15. And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Why do you suppose that was happening? Verse 15. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. A Samaritan, is that a Jew? So is that an outcast? Yes. Beautiful. Yeah? Look at Luke 4. Go back to Luke 4, 18. Where we started. Luke 4, 18. Luke 4, 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Who will the poor now mean? Is it those who are physically poor or those who are spiritually poor? That's why you see Jesus, that rich man. Remember that rich man? Luke chapter 9 or thereabouts. Yeah, the rich man that was not rich unto God. The rich man whose ground brought forth plentiful. So it means that there are people who were rich materially, but he called them poor. So when he says, he has anointed him to preach the gospel to the poor. Is he physically poor? No. Right? Correct, sorry, right? He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Dear saints, is the poor physical or spiritual? Yeah. The brokenhearted, is it spiritual or physical? Yeah. It's not to the spiritual. It's not when your heart is broke. It's not when a boyfriend breaks your heart. Brokenhearted doesn't mean your heart is broken by a man or by a woman. Brokenhearted doesn't also mean you have heart disease. Brokenhearted is equal to what? Those who are poor. Chicken. Now, to preach deliverance to the captives. So it means that those who are poor are those who are brokenhearted and those who are captives. I don't study, you are sleeping. Eh? Everybody lift your hand and say, Jesus is Lord.
Jesus.
Lift your two hands and say, Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
I walk in light.
Sleep
is not part
of the new creation reality.
For God never sleeps, nor slumber. I cannot sleep here because God is talking. Abi, if God is talking, and God is here, and he's talking, and he doesn't sleep plus number. Imagine you are sleeping, and God is talking. That's like, you see, baffled with that man that fell from the rooftop and died. But truth is that no matter how powerful God's word, you... there are those who... some people are gifted in sleeping. No matter what he said, they are sleeping. I just never sleep on Okada. You think it's only plain people sleep on? People are very gifted at sleeping. Say I'm not one of them. He says what? He says what? Preach the, he has anointed me to preach the gospel, that is the Keruzo de, yes, Iagalion. Yeah, preach the gospel where we started from, that is to the poor. So the poor is equal to the broken hearted, equal to the deliverance that is to be preached to the captives. When he says captives, not those in prison, no. Are we together? You know, some people, they have prison ministry, and this is their verse. Recovery, now, with the recovering of sight to the blind, now be physical. Hello? Was poor physical? Was broken hearted physical? Was captive physical? So recovering of blind sight, will it be physical? Starts with spiritual. To set liberty them that are bruised. Is that literal? Is that physical or spiritual? Is that spiritual or literal? Beautiful. Yeah, look at John 4:37 quickly. No. Acts 10:38, sorry. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, yeah, and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with what? Him. Now, look at what happened. What do you think Jesus was really doing? And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jew and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hung on the tree, him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all people, but unto the witness chosen of God and everything. And verse 42, let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. What is the command? To preach. What follows? Healing of the sick. Verse 43, 1, 2, 3, go. What was Peter preaching? Forgiveness of sin. Was Peter preaching healing? What was he preaching? Remission of sin. What happened when he was preaching remission of sins? Verse 44, while Peter yet spoke these words. What words? The words of the gospel. The words of the message, the words of the messenger. The Holy Ghost fell upon them which heard the word, and they of the circumcised which believed were astonished. Look at Acts 28:27. Acts 28:27. For the heart of the people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have been closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and should be converted. And I should what? Heal them, right? Be it known unto you, therefore, that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and they that will what? So signs are wonders. They are not pointers to a future event right now, but a pointer to that which has happened. Have we made that clear? So when we go out on the street and we are going to heal people, is what? We are pointing their attention to that which has already happened. In the days of Isaiah, Ezekiel, and none of them, when they healed the sick, what were they doing? Pointing their attention to that which was to happen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at James 5. James 5. James 5, 13. Let's see verse 14. James 5, 14. 1, 2, 3, go. That sickness, is it physical or spiritual? Hello, that sickness, is it spiritual or physical? So the healing that will come, is it physical or spiritual? Physical healing. Right? How is the healing supposed to come? By prayer and anointing with oil. Right? Look at verse 15. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he had committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. What is that? Physical healing points to what? Eternal healing. Look at verse 16. Confess your fault one to another and pray one for another and be healed. You see, the translators of that Bible verse makes it look like it is sin that made him sick. Yeah? Now, confess your fault one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. This healing, is it physical? Yes. Look at it again. Confess your fault one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. That healing, is it spiritual or physical? Hold on, no. Hold on, no. Don't just be following spiritual physical, spiritual. You are hungry. Gospel us. Oh, we are hungry. And your truth is your mind is spiritual, physical, spiritual. Why did I say that is spiritual? People are about it. You should know if it's not physical, it's spiritual. It's not spiritual, it's physical. So why you suck, confess your fault. Ah, no, people are God. But see, you need to be like, the person you should even be pitying more is me that is wearing shoes and standing since morning. And you are sitting, you are relaxing, fan is blowing you from behind, and sweating in front. That's why spiritual, physical, spiritual. And you think, the one of God prevails will be good. Let's have a free course in your life. I'm laboring. I just spiritual. Confess your fault, what you are not that. I pray for another that you may be healed. Is that healing spiritual or physical? It's none. It's none. It's yeah. When it says confess your fault, if you read that verse alone, you would think that it is the sin that made you sick. No, but James is teaching conduct. So when he says confess your fault one to another, that you may be healed, is that when you have a strained relationship, you rectify that strained relationship. By rectifying that strained relationship, is what you have rectified your supplied healing. So if I'm fighting with you and I confess my fault and we have a conversation about it, so that we might be healed, the healing we have, it is in our relationship. By extension, you can really say physical. Do you understand? But it's not just physical, it's spiritual. It's not physical, spiritual. No. This guy is so actual. So the second one is actually speaking about reconciliation. Are we together? So now we've looked at, now in this seminar, we've done something about healing. We've looked at healing. First of all, we've seen healing as something that happens between man and man. Are we here? If I say, give me an example of a scripture, where do you go to? James chapter 5, verse 16. We looked at healing as between what? God and man. Is that true? What is that? Reconciliation. Right? And we've also seen healing as what? Health challenge between a man and himself. So we have three uses of the word healing across scriptures. First, between physical healing, let's say physical healing from there. Secondly, between God and man, that's spiritual healing. Then thirdly, between what? Man and himself. That's what? Mended relationship. So healing was the word used for mending relationship. Hallelujah. You see, the word healing just simply means wholeness, to be whole, to be complete. Hallelujah. Healing is a sign of what Jesus has done in the resurrection. Say healing is a sign of what Jesus has done in the resurrection. So does God perform miracles today?
Yes.
What does that do? It is to attest the deliverance and what? Salvation that he has supplied in the work of his son. So physical healing is a proof that my body is mortal and will be glorified. So did Jesus go to the cross with headache on his body? Did Jesus go to the cross with malaria on his body? Did Jesus go to the cross with malaria on his body? Did he bear your malaria? Did he bear malaria on the cross? Does God heal malaria today? Are we together? Does Jesus heal the sick today?
Yes.
What is that? It is as a sign to the fact that he took our sins. Hallelujah. The Son of Man did this that you might know he has the power to forgive sins. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Glory to God. So, let's look at something in Luke 7:36. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would not eat with, that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, the woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus was at meat and everything, look at, jump to verse 47. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are what? Forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is it that forgiveth sin also? And he said unto the woman, thy faith hath saved thee, go in peace. Yeah, you look at two things in that narrative. Number one, your sins are forgiven. And number two, it says your faith has saved you. Your faith has saved you. It says go in peace. The word they saved is the word zozo. Yeah? So it says go in peace. So forgiveness and salvation, they actually mean completeness. Yeah? So if you see a man whose sins are forgiven, which is you and I, it means that we are complete. Are we together? So, in many parables, in a lot of parables that Jesus gave, forgiveness played a major role in their healing. Your sins have been forgiven. Right? Your sins have been forgiven. Look at Luke 5:20. Quickly, Luke 5. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, thy sins are what? Their sins are what? Their sins are what? So it means that the message of the gospel is that your sins are forgiven. There's a sign that follows that. What is that? Healing of the sick. Hallelujah. 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 Oh. Acts 10:38. Okay, I think we just look at that. Mark 16:20. Look at what it says. And they went forth and preached everywhere. What was the instruction? What was the instruction? Go into the world and preach. What did they do? They went forth in verse 20 and preached everywhere. The Lord was working with them and confirming the word with what?
Signs.
With signs what? Following. So the word of truth went forth. If you are loud on eternal forgiveness, you should be loud on the healing power of God. Are we together? Remember we did an explanation in John 10 or John, is it John 12, where he spoke about that man who was blind from birth. And he asked, was he his father that sinned? Or is the one that sinned? And we explained that already, right? It wasn't the sin that caused that really. Because Jesus said it is not sin, and he makes it look as if the parents did not sin. And we said that if the parents did not sin, it means that they were qualified to be the lamp of God. And the boy was born blind. Where could they have sinned before his birth? Yeah? But it says that the work of God might be glorified. So it means that what? You are not sick because you sinned. But you are healed because God forgives sins. Word. You are not sick because you are sinned, or people don't fall sick because they sin, or because of sin, but rather, people are healed because God forgives sins. Look at Acts 2:38, quickly. Look at Acts 2, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the what? For the what? And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So, what was Peter preaching? Forgiveness of remission of sin, right? Look at 43. Excuse me. Verse 43. 1, 2, 3, go. Hey, whoa. Fear came, and many signs and wonders were done by the apostle. What was Peter doing primarily? Preaching remission of what? Sins. Look at Acts 3, 6. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give to thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and what? Beautiful. Before Jesus said, rise up and walk, what did he say as another option? Beautiful, you're funny. Look at Acts 3, verse 19. That same 3. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus, which was before, preached unto you. Look at Acts 8:32. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Acts 8:26. It says, and the angel of Acts chapter 8, verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go towards the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he rose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch, right? Look at verse 28. He was returning and sitting in his chariot. He read Isaiah the prophet. What did he read? Then, verse 29, rather. Then the spirit said unto Philip, go near and join the set of the chariot. And Philip ran towards, and he asked him, Understandest thou what thou readest? Volume 3. And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come and sit with him. The place of the scriptures where he read was, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. Have you read that scripture today? Isaiah what? 53, verse 7 to 8. Then, look at what he now says. Then, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet of this? Of himself or some other man? That is asking, is he Isaiah that was speaking about himself or somebody else? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him and baptized him. So we see that the gospel is not come and be healed. The gospel is what? He who forgives sins. He who was our leader, our savior, was led like a sheep to the mouth of the shearer, and he opened not his mouth to be killed and resurrected for what? Forgiveness of sins. So the gospel is not God. The gospel is not come and be healed. Is that true? Is that true? Is the gospel come and be healed? Do you see any portion of scripture that says the gospel is come and be healed? Not one. Yeah? So what is the gospel? It is what? Be reconciled with God. Come and have fellowship with God. A sign that God reconciles is that what? God is a healer. Look at Acts 14:6. Let's read together, everybody. 1, 2, 3, go. Verse 7. Verse 8. What was Paul preaching? Verse 7. And they heard it. So what was Paul preaching? What happened? Healing of what? The legs. Are we together? Remember Jesus told us that ye may know that the Son of God has the power, what? To forgive sins. To forgive sins. Look at Luke 18, verse 35. Okay, before you go to Luke 18, please go to Mark 5, sorry. Mark chapter 5, verse 25 to 34. Are we tired? So don't act tired, though. Your confession is a possession. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had what? An issue of blood for 12 years. Where did issue of blood conversation start from in the Bible? Leviticus, right? Leviticus 13, we read that, 14, all of that, right? And had suffered many things of many physicians. That means she had gone to so many physicians to be healed. And he had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Verse 27, when she had heard of Jesus, she came in and pressed behind and touched his what? Garments. Now, in the real sense, remember, those who had issue of blood, for instance, they were considered as what? So nobody goes close to them except you want to go and bath and stay away for 7 days. Right? What did she do? When she heard Jesus, she went behind and she touched his garments. And she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be. So she heard what was taught. What was Jesus teaching? Remission of sins. Right? What did she hear? Remission of sins. What did she have faith for? To be what? Healed. Now hold your thoughts. Please follow attentively. Verse 28. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing himself that Petro had gone out of him, turned and said, "Who pressed me? Who touched my clothes?" The disciples said, "Don't you see what is happening?" 32, and he looked round about to see her, that what she had done. Verse 33, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what she had done, or what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Verse 34, let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go.
And said unto her, "Lord, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague."
He said, "Their faith has made you whole." Right? But I thought in verse 29, he already said she was healed of the plague. Is that not your Bible? Look at 29. She felt in her body that she was healed. So before Jesus even recognized or started having a conversation of who touched me, she was healed. What did Jesus say? "Sins have made you what? Whole." So it means that there's a relationship between healing and wholeness. This whole that I spoke about, that faith has made you whole, is it going to be whole in reference to spiritual or physical? All of you have come again. You have come again, but this one was a little spiritual for the right. The poor brand. Hallelujah. Look at Matthew 9:22. Matthew chapter 9, verse 22. The same narrative. Matthew 9:22. Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole." And that hour she was made whole from that hour. We're going to look at this maybe tomorrow. Is that whole? Let me not say spiritual or physical. that whole, is it spiritual or physical? Look at Luke 17 quickly. Here you go. Luke 17, verse 11. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were who?
Lepers,
which stood up afar. Verse 13. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourself unto the priest." And it came to pass that as they went, they were what?
Amen.
They were what?
Amen.
Now one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back with a loud voice and glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Amen. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Were there not 10 that were cleansed? But where are the 9? Verse 18, "There are not found that return to give glory to God except the stranger." Are we together?
Yes.
Why was he a stranger? He was not from the common to him, right? Yeah. Look at what he now says in verse 19. And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole." He didn't say thy faith has made thee cleansed or healed. Whole is the whole, spiritual or physical. Is it spiritual or physical? So, let me ask a question. What is the sign of God's wholeness?
Healing.
You're there. Hold on, follow. What is the sign of God's wholeness, God's completeness? What is God's completeness? Salvation. What is the sign of God's completeness?
Healing.
So when it says that you are whole, does that mean you are complete? When it says you are whole, it's just mass now. Whole number. Improper fraction. So when it says you are whole, your faith has made you whole. Is it physical or spiritual? The healing he received when he went to show himself to the priest and gave thanks to God, was that physical or spiritual?
Yes.
So you are whole. Is that spiritual or physical? Look at Luke 18, verse 35. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant, and they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passed by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, and when he showed him, he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Look at verse 40. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my what? And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith has saved thee. That saved thee, is it spiritual or physical? You have come again. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith has saved. Now, Luke is recording this narration in Luke chapter 18. Is that true? Is that true? It means that there were so many other things that happened that Luke might not have penned down. Think about some other instances. There are so many other instances where Luke or the narratives make us to see that when Jesus healed, he healed and spoke about forgiveness of sins. Now, if you want to go to the narrative of saying that Jesus, at the time Jesus had not resurrected, so he couldn't have been, he couldn't have been spiritual. What will now be your question when Jesus says your sins have been forgiven? At that time, had Jesus done the work that forgives sins? Do you think, now, look at it, for every time Jesus says your sins are forgiven, do you think that it is every time that it is as straightforward as your sins are forgiven, or there were so many things that were said that the summary is your sins are forgiven? Yeah. So, can't we say that there are so many things that are said, and Luke summarizes it as you are saved? So you are saved in Luke 18, we equal to your sins are forgiven, amidst the so many things that are said. Aha. Uh-huh. Receive thy sight, thy faith has made thee whole. Is that similar to, look at Luke 5:15 quickly. Luke 5:15. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to what? Hear and to be healed by him of their infirmity. So by default, you see that. Look at. Remember verse 17 where we read before. And as he was teaching, the last verses, the last 10 sentences of that verse says, the power of the Lord was what? Was what? Present to heal, right? And what now happens? The man with palsy and everything. And he now said in verse 20, when he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Can we replace that statement to be man? How did he say it in Mark? Your faith has saved. Now look at it. Can we replace that statement where he said, and when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Thy sins are forgiven thee. Is it physical or spiritual? You see, there's the reason why we're having a lot of these conversations is because I think I'll do that teaching in days to come. There's a teaching on the mode of writing in the four gospels and the mode of writing in the epistles. Yeah? At the time when he says, he saw their faith and he said their sins are forgiven. When he saw their faith, he said their sins are forgiven. Right? That their sins are forgiven at that time, at Jesus died. So their sins are forgiven. Is it on account of what will happen or what has happened? So it is thy sins are forgiven thee. That is futuristic. The fact that it is futuristic, does it change it from being spiritual? So can Jesus say he saw their faith, and instead of saying your sins are forgiven thee, and say you doubt, and their faith has made thee saved, the faith has saved thee? Is it the same thing?
Yes.
Is it the same thing?
Yes.
So is. You see, I waited for all of you. This is money, spiritual, physical. Now we have come to the contest. Now, so that he saw their faith and said, thy sins are forgiven thee. Could Jesus have said, your faith has made you whole? Could Jesus have said, your faith has made you whole?
Yes.
Could Jesus have said, your faith has saved you?
Yes.
Would your faith as saved you be different from your sins and forgiven? Any account you put my faith, your faith has saved you, or rather, any account you put man, your sins are forgiven, must be the same account you put your faith has saved you. Yeah, we should look at that verse more. Let's have a conversation around this more. Okay. Luke 18, verse 41, 42, 43. I want us to go out already. So he who has the authority to forgive sins, look at Luke 9, 1. Then he called the 12 disciples together and gave them what? Power and authority over devils. So Jesus has the power over devils. Yes? He has the power over what? Sins. Yeah, he has the power to forgive sins. He has power over devils. Look at them. Look at it. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Yeah? So he has power to cure diseases, right? Luke 10, 21. Look at Luke 10, 21. Luke 10, look at 19, rather. Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions. So serpents and scorpions will be the activities of the devil. Was it first literal? Was serpent and scorpion in the Bible first literal? Exodus, right? Now what? Beautiful. Yeah, so Jesus has the power over saints, power to cure sicknesses, and power over what? Devils, right? So power to forgive is evident by the power to heal the sick. Is that true? Have we taught that properly today? The power to forgive is evident in the power to what? In the power to what? Are we here? Beautiful. So the power to save is proven or proven by the power to heal the sick. Right? So we're going now to go and preach the gospel that God saves. And to make that evident is by what? That God heals. So the healing is a sign to show that God what? That God what? Look at Matthew 4, 24. Quickly. Matthew chapter 4, verse 24. Now let's read this with seriousness of mind, okay? Okay, Matthew 4, rather, verse 24. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Let's say that again. And he healed them all. Let's say that again. And he healed them all. Let's say it again, and he healed them all.
And he healed them all.
Yeah, so Jesus has given us an authority to go and heal. Look at Matthew 10. Matthew 10, what? Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. 1, 2, 3, go. Is that the word authority?
Yes.
Let's go again. Do we have authority? Do we have power? Are we going out to heal the sick?
Yes.
Look at Matthew 12, 15 quickly. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he look at Luke 4:40 quickly. Jesus is the great healer. Hallelujah. Now, verse 40, 1, 2, 3, go. Okay, hold on. Later. Luke 4:40. 1, 2, 3, go. Are we together? So they're going out today, they're going to lay hands on the sick. They're going to look at the sick and get them healed. Say, I heal the sick.
I heal the sick.
We're getting practical now, right? I heal the sick.
I heal the sick.
You see, when you see someone who is lame, go and meet the person. So when you see the sick, when you go out, yeah? So today, a lot of sick people you will meet will be based on word of knowledge. Get yourself active. Get yourself recipient to receive God's word. God will speak to you and minister to you through people who... There's one of you here who's going to heal someone that has a hole in the heart. One of us here. Yeah? Be very attentive to it. You will get someone healed that has a hole in the heart. Hallelujah. Say, I'm ready to heal.
I'm ready to heal.
I'm ready to heal.
I'm
empowered to heal. God's power is at work in me. Let's rise up and sing. Your spirit in me. Your power at work through me. I'm a man in Christ. Supernatural man.